Welcome to the Imago Dei Community Podcast.
What's up, Imago? It's so good to be together again this Sunday. Hope you all are doing well. We are in a series called Jars of Clay. And what I love about this series is that hopefully you're enjoying it as well. But it's a series that's near to my heart because I feel like for so long as Christians, we are way too accepting of a very reduced, apathetic kind of Christianity. And I want our imaginations to be filled with the possibilities and the potentials and the reality of everything that God has done, the glory that he's called us into to contemplate. And so I hope that you're following along. I hope that you're prayerfully pushing in and crying that cry of Moses, God, show me your glory. Remember the definition of spiritual formation that we're using. We are being formed by the Spirit into the image of Jesus who lives through us for the sake of others. And today we're going to talk about the tension that exists between that definition, which is filled with hope and promise and possibility, and the reality of the pain and the brokenness, the sin, the death, the relational conflict, the violence that exists within us and within our world and within our bodies. I think those have lived in tension for so long that for many of us, they begin to outweigh this war of faith, this fight for faith. And because we can see that and feel that so palpably, we begin to disbelieve or deny the reality that God is still here, that God is in the midst of us, that he is forming us into the image of Jesus, that he is wanting to live through us and love and serve those around us. And today, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to turn there, verse 7, is going to help us bring these tensions together. These two conflicting realities of the promise of what the gospel does in our life and the brutal reality of a fallen world and fallen bodies and broken lives. He says this in verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure meaning this contemplating the face of Jesus, the glory that has shown, the light of God that's broken into our hearts, that has been given to us and shown to us in the face of Christ. He takes this monumental picture and reality, and he says, but we have this treasure, the glory of Christ, the transformation of our souls, the resurrection and new creation that's breaking in. We have this in jars of clay. Jars of clay. I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with what a jar of clay is. It's not a Christian band from the 90s. It's there are these cheap terracotta pots that you can buy, right? They're clay. They are cheap and inexpensive and super fragile. They don't fall twice. They are broken immediately when they hit the ground. And he takes that picture, which they had been very familiar with since a lot of their lamps and were created by this. People knew what a jar of clay was. And he uses this picture of a jar of clay to say that you take that image of the light of God shining into our hearts in the face of Christ, and you put it in this fragile jar of clay that isn't really worth a ton, doesn't have a lot of intrinsic value in and of itself. And he says, that's where this glory lives. It lives in these fragile, broken, chipped, right? Bodies, lives, relationships, and you begin to ask, why in the world would God decide to put his glory in things like that, things like us? And he says, he does it to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Man, that is a powerful verse. See, for the church of Corinth, they had started adding, you know, their own sense of righteousness to the gospel. We live like this, we eat like this, we don't associate with these people. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to take their jar of clay and they were trying to polish it up on the outside. They were trying to paint it and make it look better. They were trying to impress us with their jar of clay. I don't know about you, but I do that too. Right? I don't want you to look at me and see a fragile, right, jar. I want you to look at me and go, wow, that is an impressive jar. That jar is got it together. That jar is indestructible. That jar is autonomous. That jar has it all together. And so when you look at my righteousness, when you look at my faith, you could say, Rick has it together. That's what I want. And yet every time I try to do it, I can't seem to fool anybody that behind that veneer of paint, behind that polish, behind that decoration is the same old jar of clay with all of its fragility and brokenness and chips and cracks. See, we want to be able to say that we have somehow made ourselves who we are. And Paul stops them. And he says, no. It has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about this good God, the Creator, who shone his light into your heart, meaning he illuminated your heart so that you could see his glory in the human face of Jesus. And that surpassing eternal glory is going to get carried around in someone as fragile and as broken and as needy as you to show that this has nothing to do with you, but this has everything to do with the surpassing power of God. And that is such a message for us today, because I don't know about you, but when I look at the pain in my life, when I look at places, relationships that have been broken, when I think of my body and how it breaks down on me, and I think about the future, what is that arthritis going to look like in 20 years? What is where's life going to be for my daughter in 20 years? And what does that glory have to do with that kind of pain, that kind of conflict? We lose loved ones. We lose spouses and children. We bear the brutal reality of a life in which death still exists. And we ask ourselves, how in the world is God supposed to make up for that? And Paul wants them to ask that question. Paul wants you to ask that question. He has never desired, and I believe God has never desired to have Christians who their spiritual growth is about learning to fake it, learning to impress, learning to push down raw emotion and pain and reality to somehow make their jar of clay look like it's okay. It's okay that your jar of clay is not okay. It's okay that it's just a jar of clay. It's okay that it's fragile. It's okay that you're afraid. It's okay that you don't want to hear from the doctor that it's terminal. Like, all that is part of the human reality, and Paul knows that, and God knows that. So much so that he himself took on that jar of clay, allowed his pot to be broken, to be crushed, so that through his death, he might bring a life, a glory that would transform that jar of clay into something that shines with the resurrection light and life of God. And so he goes on to tell them, and he says, look, we are hard pressed on every side. In verse 8, we're crushed, but we're not destroyed. We're crushed, we're perplexed, but we don't despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're always carrying around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. And what he's saying to them is he's saying, look, this isn't a contradiction of the gospel. This is the way of the gospel. The way that God's glory works itself out and displays itself through the world is through these jars of clay that are so fragile and who suffer the world, who suffer the reality of the world, even to the point where there is natural suffering, there is suffering we bring on ourselves because of our choices and our mistakes, and then there's suffering that comes from a broken world and a broken body, that it's nobody's fault. But he says, in all of that, that doesn't have the final answer, that we could be crushed, but not destroyed. We could be perplexed, but it won't take us all the way to despair. That brokenness will not end in brokenness, but it will end in resurrection. Which means that rather than pretending, right, that our jars aren't simply jars of clay, what would it mean for us to begin to embrace our fragility? What would it mean to wrap your arms around your brokenness rather than try to repel it or stuff it? Paul says, it is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. And since we have that same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. See, what happens when we embrace our fragility, when we embrace our sin, our propensity to be fragile, to be broken, is that we don't become less spiritual, we actually become more spiritual. Because what we're doing by naming it is that we are confessing that we need the all-surpassing power of God to show up right now. In our grief, we need God to show up. In our addiction, where we confess that I have a drinking problem, I have a lust problem, I have a whatever problem, what we're confessing is I need the all-surpassing power of God. I mean, AA is so far ahead of the church in this, because you start with, my name is and I am. And what I mean by that is that they have grown comfortable in Alcoholics Anonymous with naming their fragility. And we still are creating workshops to paint jars of clay, right? We're still reading the next book, the next thing to show that my jar doesn't need anything. And Paul says, when we embrace reality, that there is this tension between this all-surpassing, all-encompassing, eternal glory of God and our broken, fragile lives, that we embrace that fragility, there actually creates the possibility for God to shine through those cracks, for God's glory to pervade through the broken chips and the little holes and the shatteredness, the wear and tear of being a sinner in a sinful world, rather than creating a place of shame, actually become portals for which God's glory breaks through and displays itself. So Paul could say, not woe is me, I've been crushed. Woe is me, I've been perplexed. Woe is me, I've been persecuted. He could say, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Carrying around in my body the fact that Jesus' death is real, but I'm carrying it around so that the life of Jesus can shine through this broken jar. Verse 16, he says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. The reality is that we will always be tempted to use our brokenness and to use our fragility and to use our sinfulness as reasons to despair. But the work of Jesus through the gospel means that what we can reckon those things to be is the old man, the old woman dying its death so that the life of Jesus can resurrect itself in those places in my life. The work of the gospel means that we're being given over to death so that through our brokenness, others can live. Paul knew his own fragility. But the hope that we carry is resurrection. If you remember back in our Resurrection and Risen series, we took it right out of Paul's playbook. We don't lose hope, he says, because we weigh the scales. And what I mean by that is, he says, I want to weigh the outward things, crushed, perplexed, abandoned. You might weigh them, cancer, divorce, right? Addiction, and you weigh those. But inwardly, there's this increasing glory that says, along with that is the healing of Jesus. Along with that is the power of Jesus. Along with that is the comfort of Jesus. Along with that is the love and mercy of Jesus. And he says, I want to weigh these. There's this increasing glory inside me, and this outwardly, this jar keeps crumbling more and more. There, I have these momentary troubles that are happening, but there's this eternal weight of glory. That's what he calls it, the weight of glory. And he's essentially saying, I want you to weigh those in the balance. And if you weigh those in the balance, what you will see is the glory of God far outweighs these momentary troubles. He can call them light in comparison because that glory just goes boom. And all of a sudden, things as heavy as death, heavy as grief, heavy as loss, actually just fly up to the light end of the scale when that eternal glory is weighed against it. But it's important at what we're looking at, because if we don't pay attention to what God has revealed to us and given us in Christ, all we have to look at is our clay jars, is the fragileness, is the cracks, is the brokenness. And we're focused on what is seen. We're not thinking about what is unseen. And we begin to despair and lose hope and go into all that darkness. And the truth is, that's a normal response to a world without God, right? If Christ's glory isn't true, if it hasn't broken in, then I am going to despair over the future. Then I am going to despair over loss and death and sickness and all of that. But what he calls us to do is to fix our eyes on what is unseen, not seen. Because what we cannot see right now is the most real thing. It's the unseen real. It is the glory of God that is at work in us, that is one day going to consume all of creation, and that we will be consumed with it in the very presence of God. And so we're weighing these things, and we could say, well, they're momentary, and that's true. We may walk with a limp for the rest of our life. Our jar of clay may never hold a lot of water because it's got all kinds of holes in it. But one day, that jar will be made new. I may grieve and cry and mourn for a long time, but it still is momentary in light of eternity. Because one day when Christ comes to wipe all those tears away and there'll be no more mourning or crying or pain and all things are made new, that is what will last forever. And that is the weight of glory. And so we don't lose hope. We weigh the scales. And I know some of you right now are walking through really painful times. Some of you aren't sure what's going to happen with your job. Some of you aren't sure what's going to happen in your marriage. Some of you aren't sure if you're ever going to be married. There's things that are challenging to all of us. And Paul never discounts it. He never says, don't let the weakness, the chips, the cracks of your jar be hidden or even something to be ashamed of. Embrace them. But as you embrace them, know that you also have been embraced by the glory and that you are being filled. This jar is being filled with the very presence of God, and that is His choice to reveal His all-surpassing power that would show up in something as fragile as you and me. We don't lose hope. And so there is so much beauty in a broken jar filled with glory. There really is. And if we can come to the place where we continue to contemplate God's face and push into His presence, then we can also find a place where we can accept our weakness, our brokenness. We can accept the forgiveness we've been given. We can begin to open our hands, and rather than being wrapped around ourselves in self-protection, we can open those hands to receive love, to receive grace. We can begin to take some of the cracks and brokenness in our jar and be able to come along somebody else's jar of cracks and brokenness and let the light of comfort and healing shine through our lives into theirs. And again, the reason that we have this hope, the reason that we can live in the tension with faith, really with encouragement, is because God Himself took on His own fragile jar of clay. He became human. He entered our humanity and allowed Himself to be broken on a cross, to allow His blood to be shed so that He can make a new covenant with you and move into your life where His glory could shine and His love can be received, and His mercy can fill you, and His freedom can be walked in. And we need each other to do this. And so, brothers and sisters, tonight, today, I pray that as we move into this communion moment in our homes, that we could just take some time and give thanks to a God who doesn't disown us because of our brokenness, our sin, our fragility, but He actually moves into us and He takes those places of darkness and He fills them and shines out of them to display His glory, His all-surpassing power, and His beautiful comfort and love. He does that for us. And that's a reason to worship Him this morning.